Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Is that like a call and response? Like, do you respond?
That was, yeah, like, that was pretty good.
And he with you. You know, I mean, man, I love that worship. That first song, Tim, it brought me back to some like Rascal Flatts when Callie and I were dating back in the early 2000s. That's what I heard from you guys. All harmonizing together. Love it. Rascal Flatts fans, like kind of back 2000s. There we go. Some people were like, that's not country. That's hip hop. That's not country. Anyways. Well, I'm Ryan. This is Susan. We're both married, but not to each other.
Yeah.
It's kind of more like, it's like sister, brother, and then John over here. He's dad. And
Papa
so like,
John.
We're just kind of one, you know, happy family that get along over here. But anyways, that's all my jokes. I'm
there
done tonight.
There you go. Yeah, we'll cut off there. Yeah. Hey, we could not be more excited to be with you tonight. And this really is one of our favorite first nights back of the year. Because this is the night that we love to just pull everybody together and talk about what are the four things that healthy couples do. And so tonight when you walked in, you were handed a handout. And we'd love for you to pull that out right now. And you'll be able to follow along with us. And then in addition, the backside is left blank on purpose because we do hope that you'll take notes as we go along our time together this evening. And so I don't know what many of you were thinking the day that you got married. But I know that the day that I married my husband, I remember walking down the aisle, looking at Raul, thinking, man, this is it. He is my everything. He is going to make me happy. We're going to have kids, the white picket fence, the whole bit, the SUV, the Labrador. I could not wait to marry him. And I had all these expectations in mind, and perhaps you did too. But what happens is the day that we marry, we forget that we marry a broken person. I wish the pastor had put in our vows 1 Corinthians 7:28. Hey, Raul and Susan, lean in. The Bible says for those who marry, they're going to have trouble. And I just wish that that had been a part of our vow. Because Raul and I had no idea what we were about to venture into. And just as the couple on the screen is walking as we perceive to be happily ever after down the road, little do they know of the twists and turns that will be ahead of them. And the bumps that they may encounter, or perhaps there's a hole in the road and they fall right in it. And so tonight we want to talk to you about the four things that couples do that get healthy, that continue to move toward oneness. And it doesn't matter whether you are hanging on by a thread this evening, perhaps divorce is on the table, or if perhaps things are going okay and you're just looking to strengthen your marriage, these four things apply. So let's look at number one. The first thing that we see is that there is a renewed spiritual vitality. There is a true understanding of who Christ is, and that relationship with him is vital. I would tell you that I knew Christ. I would tell you that I became a believer at the age of 10. I would have told you that I knew Christ the day that I married Raul, but I did not abide in him. My Bible sat on the nightstand, and it stayed there 7 days a week until Sunday morning rolled around and I could pick it up, walk it into church, play the part of being the good Christian, go back home and put the Bible right back in that clean rectangular spot, you know, on the nightstand, and that's where it sat for the next 7 days. Didn't open it, didn't read it, did not abide as John 15:5 calls us to. And I would tell you today, that verse has become my lifeline. It is my lifeline. Our story involves infidelity on both sides, a door of choosing pornography, and many other doors that we chose to run to when things got hard in the marriage. But we have learned that for our marriage to continue to take ground and to move forward and strengthen and grow and be the marriage that Christ calls us to have, we have to put that truth into play. And just the word abide, it simply means obey. Follow, do what Christ's words tell us to do. So many times couples will come and ask Ryan and John and I, hey, just give me the practical. I get all the re-engage lesson stuff, but just give me the practical of what it's going to do to help my marriage get better. And every time we want to open God's word and say, hey, here's your practical. Do what God's word has called you to do. In other words, do what the words of this book tell you to do. So when I abide in Christ, I spend time with him, I'm reading his word every day. I am in prayer with him. Here's what's happening. I'm getting to know my Savior. I'm getting to have an intimate relationship with Christ so that when I spend time with him in his word and in prayer, I have what I need to now go and love my husband well. And so without that deep relationship with him, I don't have what it takes to love Raul the way that God has called me to. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us that we are to do everything to glorify God. In everything that we do, we are to glorify God, and that includes our marriage as well, that we have got to put him first. And he's got to be, gosh, the first part, the best part of our day. And so I don't know what that looks like for you, you know, that you spend time with the Lord, but we have a great website, watermark.org. On that website, there's a ton of resources to help you begin to study God's word, equip disciple, and another great resource is what we call Join the Journey. And you can even put that app on your phone. If you're looking for a way to get God's word in you and to have it in bite-sized pieces where you're able to read it, answer questions, and then apply it, that is a great resource for you to use in this new year. And then finally on this one, you may be sitting here tonight thinking, gosh, we don't even really know what it looks like to follow Christ. We really have no idea what it looks like to take that step of surrendering our lives to following him and really understanding what that would look like. We would say to you tonight, don't let tonight get away from you without asking either your closed group leader, your open group leader, or perhaps one of us at the close of large group tonight. I can tell you firsthand that you're looking at a girl who the minute that our marriage began to make Christ number one, it changed everything.
So good. Like, and with that, making Christ, I mean, being the first thing of these four C's, I mean, it really is the thing that flows into everything else that we're talking about, because if we don't get that piece right, then everything else is just going to, it's going to fall away sooner or later, and we're going to revert back to some old patterns. Because really, without Christ, this second C, this idea of a circle, is crazy. I mean, it's really like, apart from an understanding of who Jesus is, what he's done, and therefore who we are because of him, this second idea is frankly just, it'd be stupid. But this is what God's word calls us to do, is this idea of drawing. I mean, we kind of put the frame of this circle through from Matthew 7. And it says, hey, before you kind of try to go take a speck, a little small speck out of someone else's eye, you want to make sure you remove the log out of your own eye so that you can, in a right manner, without harming the other individual, take a speck out of their eye. And so it's saying, hey, before you go and try to help someone else and their problems, their mistakes, their sins, the things they've done, make sure you do business on your issues first. Because typically what happens, you know, for both believers and non-believers, as we think about what's going on in our marriage and as people come to newcomers for the first night, or even as they're kind of still journeying through re-engage, it's this idea that if he would just stop doing this, if she wouldn't have done that a week ago or 5 years ago, if he or she would start doing these things, we wouldn't be at this place. We would be better. And what Jesus is wanting us to do is not say that we won't ever deal with the issues of someone else's sin or someone else's mistakes or way they've wronged you or hurt you, but it's, we need to realize that my sin is a big deal and that I need to focus on my own sin instead of focusing on someone else's sin, because frankly, I can't change someone else. You know, even though I may force, I may try, I might have a strong arm on whatever it might be, I can only change myself. And so a great thing for me to do is say, hey, okay, if our marriage is going to be better, one thing that I am in control of is changing my part in it. And so how can I just draw that circle around myself and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do everything I can to make me be the most godly man, godly woman, you know, that you want me to be. Help me to do my part. A week before Christmas, I was meeting with a leader and one of the folks in their group and, you know, spent over an hour with this gentleman. And so in the first 30 minutes, she said, hey, why don't you share with me just kind of what's going on and what do you feel like the, you know, just y'all's issues are. And over those 30 minutes, I would say, I mean, I'm not exaggerating, you know, 90% of it was about her issues And then 10% was about him, but in that 10%, probably 8% of it was how great he was and what he's doing well. And then I just asked the question. I said, okay, hey, understand it. Can you just tell me what's maybe a few things that you're doing to harm her or not help your relationship? And his answer was, I just didn't understand how to help her in her problems. And again, that's how many of us come into our marriages. It's like, you know what, if I have any part in it, I don't know how to help you in your porn addiction or your alcohol addiction or, you know, with your affair, this, that, and the other. And it's like, my big issue is I don't know how to help you get past your problems. And it just reminds me of just, Jesus told a parable about two men who walked up to a hill. And one man looked to heaven and he said, God, thank you that I'm not like these sinners. Thank you that, you know, I'm righteous and I fast and I do all these things and I'm not like these other wicked people. And another man came up to the hill and he just said, Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus asked the question. He said, hey, which one walked away in a right relationship with the Lord? It was the one that humbled himself. And so this idea of drawing a circle is just saying, okay, Lord, search me, as it talks about in Psalm 139, and see the sinful way within me, reveal it to me, and lead me into an everlasting life. And that's one of the things we've got to do. We've got to realize, I mean, if I've got an issue with Susan as my teammate, you know, I can't control her. If I've got an issue with my wife, I can't control her. What I need to do is figure out, okay, Lord, what's my part in our conflict? How can I fully own that? And then see how we can work towards each other in humility. And so your second C is circle.
So did you know that the first Monday in January is the number one month that people file for divorce in our country? Every 13 seconds, someone in our country right now is filing. That's scary. And did you know that the reason that they choose to leave the marriage, it all comes down to a lack of commitment? It is just strictly a lack of commitment. And so we want to really drill down on the third C of commitment. Are you committed to staying in the marriage and doing what it's going to take to work toward oneness? Are you willing to do what it's going to take to help move the marriage in that direction? Because it is going to take two people that are committed, that are willing to say, hey, we are in this thing, we're taking divorce off the table in a room this size. And I know for a fact, because we've had some conversations, there are some people that have divorce on the table and are considering of, hey, I'm gonna give this re-engage thing a try, but yet at the end of this, I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger and divorce. And so to that, I would say that is a lack of commitment. If I'm going to be committed to something, I'm going to be in it. I'm going to draw that circle around myself. I'm going to abide in Christ, and I'm going to allow the Lord to do the work in me that's going to give me what it's going to take to stay committed to the marriage. Now, commitment does not mean, yep, I'm going to commit to this marriage, and I'm going to stay till death do us part, but I'm going to pray every day that you're the one that goes first. Or I'll stay in this marriage and I'll be committed, but I'm going to make you miserable every breath of your life. That's not what we're saying. If I'm saying that I'm committed to it, I'm closing any door of escape and I'm making the commitment to act in a way that is loving. I'm making the commitment to act in a way that is kind, that is compassionate, that is passionate, that is gentle, that is under self-control. I'm making a commitment to my spouse of, hey, I'm willing to close any door that is possibly leading me away from the marriage, and I'm going to stand and be committed to doing what the Lord has called me to do. So many times when marriage gets wonky, couples will start to look for a way out. And some of those doors we've already mentioned. Sometimes we believe the lie that having an affair, whether it's an emotional or a physical, we believe the lie that being with someone else other than God's gift to us of our spouse is where we will find life. Another door is that of pornography. And it's not just a guy struggle. That's a part of my story. And so pornography is another door that we tend to run to, trying to find a temporary pleasure when we try to, you know, meet that eternal need that only Christ can. Another door is that of your job. even hobbies, golf, even things that can be enjoyable, if we tend to run to those things instead of loving our spouse the way God has called us to, that can lead us to a lack of being committed. And sometimes it could be substance abuse. It could be we believe the lie that the alcohol is going to give what I need, that's going to numb the pain, or smoking pot, or taking drugs, or old prescript drugs is going to be what is going to make the pain go away. And it doesn't. The problem with all of these doors that we just mentioned is they're temporary pleasures that we tend to run to try to meet or fulfill an eternal need that only Jesus Christ can fulfill. This girl could not have enough affairs to give me what Christ gives me. I can't watch enough porn to give me what Jesus Christ gives me. I can't drink enough, I can't smoke enough, I can't shop enough, I can't even get it in my kids, which so many times we tend to do. We want to run to our children to get our needs met or to find our significance in. And so for marriages to get healthy and to move forward, we cannot straddle the fence, guys. We cannot have our hand on a door that's leading us outward and yet try to be inside the marriage and say that I'm being committed. And so the question for you tonight would be, man, are you in it? Are you fully, completely in it? Or are you willing to avail yourself to the process and allow the Lord to do what only God can do?
And then the last one is this idea of community. And community is just a word that we use, which is talking about a small group of Christian friends, friends who are followers of Christ, a group of people who are going to love you enough to accept you right where you are, but also love you enough to not allow you to stay there. You know, that you would continue to move and become more like Jesus, to trust Jesus more, to love him more, and therefore love the things that he loves more. And what community does is I can tell you, like, you can make the Bible, if you want to, justify anything you want to do pretty much in this world. You can say, here's how I interpret this, and here's how this should be followed, and you can use it to do whatever. Like, I said, love covers a multitude of sins, and that was my, and that was my verse that kind of led me into, you know, sleeping with the first girl I did. It's like, hey, we're in love. We're going to be married. This is going to be great. And I was a Christian, and I used God's word to justify me wanting to start sleeping with this girl in college. You know, I can use the Bible to justify anything. We all can. And also, it's normally harder for me to see the issues in my own life. Typically, it's a lot easier for me to see the issues in y'all's life or my wife's life, but it's hard for me to see the issues in my own. And so God has given us a gift. He's given us his word, he's given us his spirit, and he's given us his people as a means of grace to help us see the things that we are lacking in our own personal lives, things that we need to strip away from ourselves, things that we need to pursue towards, so that we can be the man or the woman that God wants us to be. And many times, I don't want someone else telling me the way that they believe I should be living. It's like, hey, I've got this figured out. I've got my finances figured out. I've got my personal life figured out. I've got, you know, my sex life figured out. I've got my parenting figured out. You know, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and we're all reading God's word, we're all going to church, and we'll be okay. But again, we're in that. We're clogging an artery that God's given us to say, hey, I want to breathe life into you here, but you're not allowing God's people, community, to speak in your life. And so one of the things you're going to get to receive as you come through Reengage, or you are receiving as you're going through Reengage, is this sense of community. It's a group of people who are acknowledging, hey, we're broken. We are not qualified. We are in need of God's grace. We will make a mess of things if we don't cling to Jesus and cling to his people and his spirit. And then you got a group of people who are going to practice this idea of these one another's that we find in Scripture. And so all throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament, there's these different verses that talk about how we are to live with one another. And so the community team here at Watermark, they kind of synthesize these six core values that we want to be as a group of people in community groups. And this is what you should begin to experience in your re-engage group. As she talked about, the first C was Christ. Christ has to be like a deep abiding relationship with him. And so our first core value is that we'd be devoted to one another. And then that we'd be devoted daily to God's word and spending time in God's word. And as we're devoted daily, that second core value is that we would counsel each other biblically. We wouldn't think about, hey, what's Oprah talking about lately on how we should live life well? It's like, no, what does God's word say? And then we'd counsel each other biblically. And then we'd admonish each other faithfully. We'd love each other enough to get out of that, to share that last 2% of just, hey, the way you responded to your wife, the way she rolled her eyes, you know, during that conversation, like, I just don't want to let that go by. I want to love you enough to ask, what's going on here? And we love each other enough to wound each other, even though we know that it's going to hurt. That we pursue each other relationally. We spend time with one another. That we live authentically. And I want you to know, I was here for 4 years in a great church, great teaching, in a community group, and I was not living authentically. And if you've heard my story, my wife and I, as we share our story, my issue was pornography, but my issue really wasn't pornography. It was not trusting in God's provision enough through the body of Christ to be open and honest with them. And I remember when I finally came clean 4 years into our marriage, a guy in our community group looked at me and he said, man, I thought you were really doing well. I thought you were really doing well with your struggle against lust. And I just managed information and lied to him. I wasn't living authentically. And so I wasn't experiencing all that God wanted for me, and my wife and I didn't either. And then the last one is that we engage missionally, that we realize that life is bigger than just ourselves. And so hopefully you're going to get to experience those things here and re-engage. And we just want you to know, like, if you're wondering, like, what's the magic bullet? Like, how do we go from, you know, where our leaders were, you know, 2 years ago, 10 years ago? How do we continue to grow in this thing called marriage and life? How do we fix this mess that we're in? It's these four things. You know, there's kind of two ways we kind of package this silver bullet of what re-engage is. It's the four C's. It's Christ. It's circle, commitment, and community. And another way that we package it is, here's the secret sauce. It's God's word, God's spirit, and God's people. Us trusting that God loves us and that he has a plan, you know, for us in our lives. We're willing just to walk down that path that he's laying for us. Now, it doesn't always mean that everything gets fixed, whether it's the marriage or the job or the sickness or whatever it is. But we can trust that, hey, God loves you, and he's wanting you to experience life in the midst of whatever you're going through. And so we just want you to know, it's a joy. Like, what we get to do is we get to come alongside the leaders as they're in the trenches with y'all. And this ministry is a joy. It's one of the most, I'd probably say, I mean, for both of us, one of the most heartbreaking things that we get to be a part of, because we watch folks come in, we hear their stories, we see them in their brokenness, and we understand the relationships and the families that are experiencing turmoil. But it's the most life-giving and most joyful thing to be a part of, because you get to see God show up in crazy ways. Crazy ways. I mean, Susan could talk for the next, you know, 5 hours just sharing probably story after story after story of life change that's happened. And that'd just be with probably the leaders that are in this room and how God's been at work. And so we just want you to know, we love y'all, and we're excited for wherever you are, whether you're on lesson 16 tonight and you're wrapping up, you know, or this is your first night here, whether you are like around a 6 or a 7 in your marriage and you're wanting to kind of excel still more, or you're at rock bottom and you have divorce papers in your hand, that there's hope for you because of the cross, because of the empty tomb, because of Christmas, because of Easter. We have hope.
I'd say your first application item tonight would be humbly look at those four things. Really and truly do this. Ask yourself, hey, which one of these do I need to begin to take ground in? We oftentimes tell couples these four C's are like the four legs on a table. And when every leg is sturdy and in its place, that table serves its purpose and it can withstand a lot, right? Marriage is no different. When you have these four things put into practice on a day in and day out basis, you'll move forward.
We love you guys. We're just excited about what God has in store. So thanks for journeying with us. Thanks for being here on Wednesday night. Hey, if it's your first time here at Reengage, we want to say welcome. We want to say that we thank you for just trusting us, trusting maybe a friend who encouraged you to come and just say, hey, come check out this thing called Reengage. And so here in just a little bit, people are going to go a bunch of different ways. And so if this is your first night, you're going to come down here to my right, your left, and you're going to meet with Susan and Raul, and they're just going to share with you what this journey called Reengage is. And hopefully you kind of make that commitment to just jump in with us. And then also, if you've been to newcomers but you're not in a closed group yet, we have three, maybe four open group rooms. You're going to go out these doors, take a right and take another right, go across the sky bridge, and there'll be, I believe, four rooms over there. They'll take care of you. You just jump in any one of those rooms. And then we also have two closed groups starting. So
yes,
thank you,
do.
Team Bugs and Whoop. Team Lemus, coming back. Yes, clap it up for them. So for Team Bugs, room 309, that's also in the tower. So if you're an open group, you were, just go up one floor and you'll be there in 309. And then for Team Lemus, room 2, that's just kind of right across on the second floor of the tree fort. And then one announcement is that in 2 weeks, there's also going to be a women's event coming up called Recharge. And so it's going to be a night of worship and teaching for women only. And so, sorry guys, hang out at home and take care of those kiddos if you got them at home. And then also there's going to be a really hot gal leading worship. That's my bride. And so you'll be blessed by that. So, is that it?
That's it.
All right. We love you guys. Have a great night pursuing oneness. Yeah.